The NaviPro IT Break, 15 entertaining minutes with our experts on hot topics. They're designed to help you keep up to date on the latest IT trends.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this IT Break, episode 54. I'm your host, Pierre Tocci, Senior Consultant, IT Transformation Strategies at NaviPro. And today, my guest is Rudolf Arroyo from Arista, who will be my guest today. Rudolf, thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Pierre. Nice to be here.
It'll be a pleasure. Rudolf, please tell us about Arista for 30 seconds.
Sure. So, you know, Arista is, one of the largest network infrastructure providers. We do everything from switches and routers to security to monitoring fabrics. You know, the whole idea is if you need a reliable, highly performant network, Arista is typically who you're going to look for. We really started out in the data center market, and now we have a growing presence in the campus market, and we support, kind of multi-cloud infrastructure, et cetera.
All right. Rudolf, today you picked the title, Applying AI for Security, Separating Facts from Fiction. Why do we need to separate?
I think, like most things, there's sometimes overselling, over-marketing that happens, and AI is no different, right? I don't think this is a problem that's unique to security. I think AI in general has been, has had many different waves, right? Going back all the way to the 50s and 60s. And, there's always this hype about how AI is going to transform life and, you're going to have an AI automaton sitting next to you and taking your job away and so on. And I think it's important to understand that AI has a lot of benefits, but it's also important to understand what's the right use cases for AI and where we are, frankly, with the state of the art today and maybe what's coming in the future. So, and I think from a buyer's perspective, that education is really important because sometimes it's very easy to get lost in the marketing claims, right? So I think what I hope that listeners get from this is really the ability to discern, okay, what's a good use case for AI? How would I evaluate vendors for AI? Things like that.
And would you feel that there could be times where AI would make wrong decisions based on the stuff that they don't know about environments, about us, about how we decide?
I think absolutely right. I mean, like context is everything. And I think AI still hasn't gotten to the place where it has that context, right? Let me give you an example. You know, let's just pick a retailer as an example, right? So You have a retailer and let's say, the Arista NDR technology detects that, this particular retailer has a device that's compromised. Now, the AI might say, take that device offline. It's compromised. Bad things are happening, et cetera, right? But what happens if that device is actually your main payment card processing system and it's Thanksgiving weekend, right? That is the biggest shopping day of the year. Like, there's a lot of context that goes into humans then saying, I'd rather live with that risk than take it offline because when I factor the impact of taking it offline versus letting it be, I've decided that the impact of letting it be is actually lower, right? So that's the kind of context that I think you need humans very much to make that decision. I mean, it's similar in other aspects of AI as well, right? I mean, AI today is being used to look at, things like, mammograms and x-rays and CAT scans and things like that, right? But ultimately, what AI is really doing is surfacing data for the doctor to then make a decision, right? Down the road, who knows? But today, I think that's where the state of the art is.
Reading the go-to-market or the differentiator for Arista, I see that it's a multi-cloud networking leader. How would you define multi-cloud networking and security?
Sure. So I think, more and more customers are not relying on a single cloud provider, right? I mean, they want to be able to have, for a variety of reasons, business reasons, reliability, geographic reach, et cetera, they want to have multiple cloud providers. And the other thing is, even though we talk about the cloud and we talk about going to the cloud, it's not like our traditional network just magically disappears, right? So they still have, maybe they don't have a data center anymore, but they have a campus location. They might have multiple campuses. They might have people working from home and working remotely, especially with all of the shutdowns and things like that that we've seen over the last couple of years. So what Arista really helps you do is connect all of those with kind of a uniform policy and a uniform set of controls and a uniform kind of networking stack, right? And so that's, you know, a very important capability. And then with security, the same kind of logic applies, right? So when you think about security, you shouldn't really have a separate security tool and a separate security policy for your AWS, a separate security thing for Azure, a separate security thing for your own network on in your campus. You need to have a uniform set of security policies, a uniform set of security controls, and really the visibility to detect threats that are starting in one place, ending up in another, right? Because really, if you think about what attackers do, they're not looking to just compromise one device. They're typically looking to spread their way into your environment. And I think having that broad visibility, having the broad ability to then take action on that visibility is really important. And that's where Arista is uniquely positioned, because we have the network infrastructure, we have the visibility fabric, and we have the security application through our NDR solution.
Yeah. Well, what we're seeing in the literature from the analysts is that on average, it's something like 180 days to 240 days before an attack occurs. So therefore, the bad actors are really patient, and they trigger their attack once they've concluded that the best way to get at the most valuable asset of a company is whatever. So if I were to give you an example, I go to cloud A that connects to cloud B for transaction and goes to the other cloud for final whatever. Are we in a situation where Arista could detect the early signs of somebody trying to go to point C? Because that's where the money is.
Absolutely, right? So you know, much like, you know, a thief looking to break into your house, you know, you're right. They have a very specific focus. Let's take ransomware as an example, right? Mm-hmm. Ransomware kind of started originally as just, you know, I'm going to encrypt your data, I'm going to charge you to decrypt it, right? But you will notice most of the recent attacks, they're not just doing that, they're also stealing your data. And they're saying like, look, even if you don't pay us, we're going to just release this data publicly.
Yeah.
And it makes sense to release data that's going to be embarrassing or that is sensitive, et cetera. Right? So they are looking for the crown jewels, to your point. So yeah. Really, your defense against something like that is to identify those early warning signs, right? Because when that attacker is making their way through your network, maybe hitting some of the insignificant locations or maybe the insignificant assets, that's the time to really catch them, right? Because if you wait till the data is encrypted, sure, you'll detect it, right? Because you'll get that ransom note in the mail. But it's like detecting it. It's like detecting a disease after the patient's dead, right? The point is, you know, yeah, you know, good job for detecting it, but it didn't really help the patient, right?
So good for research only.
exactly, right? I mean, the point of a security solution really should be to find those early warning signs and help the customer or the organization really contain the threat as soon as possible, right? Because the sooner you catch this, to your point, 200, 300 days, if you catch it in the first 10 days or the first 20 days, the impact's definitely going to be a lot lower than catching it in day 200. Right. So that's really, I think, the impact of having that broad visibility and then applying AI on top of that visibility.
Yeah. Today, when we talk about AI, we talk about machine learning. It's not forecasting the future, because that's easy enough, but trying to detect what is normal and what is abnormal. How do we look at this in a multi-cloud environment where stuff comes from all over and the variables change all the time?
Yeah, no. So I think that's a good point. Right? And going back to the topic about fact versus fiction, I think this is a great example of a challenge that actually faces AI, right? You're right that the traditional approach to AI was, let me come in, let me learn what's normal in your network. And then if something changes, I'm going to flag it, right? Now, the problem with that is it's kind of twofold, right? One, to your point, networks are changing all the time. So what's normal today is not normal tomorrow, but that doesn't make it malicious, right? I'll give you an example of this. We have a university client that has, you know, our technology deployed, and when they were evaluating us, they were evaluating a competing technology, which is kind of that first generation anomaly detection, unsupervised learning based approach. And, you know, 2 weeks into the evaluation, the customer calls us and says like, hey, you know, the other solution is telling me that, you know, our entire faculty network has been compromised. You're not saying anything, what's going on? And make a long story short, the IT team had rolled out new backup software. Right, so all of a sudden, all of these devices are now uploading data to a new location that hadn't been seen before, but now suddenly you're flagging that as a problem, right? Yeah. And so that's the context that newer generation of AI can actually build and develop, because they're not just comparing to what you did in the past, but they're comparing to what else is happening in the environment as well. So a couple of challenges there. One is that false positive problem. The other is the false negative, right? What if you're already compromised before I came and build the baseline? You know, I'm going to kind of normalize that behavior. It's a little bit like my kids, right? What I tell them is, just because you behaved badly somewhere else doesn't mean that you just get to behave badly, right? You know, past behavior is no guarantee of you can keep doing that behavior again.
Like they say in the army, snafu, situational normal, all whatever. That is not the normal.
Exactly, yeah. Right. So I think that you know, a couple of challenges with that first generation approach, and you know, fortunately, I think the state of the art has gotten better for us to be able to actually, you know, solve some of those challenges.
More and more customers, hop onto multi-cloud vendors, multi-cloud applications, and so forth. So I guess through AI and machine learning and Arista, the learning curve to have a global view of what's going on is much I won't say easier, but not as difficult to beat, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's spot on, right? I mean, if you think about, you know, there's a lot of things you don't have to be in the customer's network to learn, right? So for instance, you know, I'll give you another example here. You know, if I came in and I told you, look, you know, this particular threat actor is using Twitter for command and control, right? If I came into your network and I said, Pierre, here's every Twitter connection from your network, you're going to laugh me out of the room, right? Because what are you going to do with all that data? On the other hand, if I came in and I told you, here's the 5 connections that did not come from a browser, they came from PowerShell, now that's suddenly a lot more interesting, right? Because why is PowerShell being used to connect to Twitter? And so AI, a good example of AI, and you know, is the ability to tell you that this connection did not originate from a browser, but originated from PowerShell, right? So that's a great example of where AI can give you that additional context to now make a decision and really reduce the funnel of data that you as the analyst have to process, right? So I think that's the kind of benefit that helps really smoothen that learning curve, right? Both for the technology itself. Because you don't need, you know, a PowerShell looks like PowerShell, right? Whether it's on your network or it's on my network. So you don't have to come into a customer's network to learn what PowerShell looks like.
Yeah. So I guess, and as company evolve and change and grow and acquire and dismantle and whatever, it's normal that, you know, fabric and networks change, people change. So therefore, when you need to onboard a new infrastructure, I guess having a good learning tool will help you a lot, right, to onboard these new networks.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need technology that keeps up with your evolving network, right? You're right. I mean, you know, look at the number of IoT devices that are showing up on networks these days, right?
Yeah.
Look at the number of people that have, you know, smart watches, smartphones, smart tablets. I mean, yeah, I think the average person has something like 6 or 7 different devices, you know, at any given point of time that they're within arm's reach of. And all of those devices have IP addresses. So if you don't really have the context of what an IP address is, right, in this new network, your problems have magnified dramatically, right? And I think that's another example of where you've got to be able to keep pace with the evolution on the IT side, right? Security, unfortunately, especially I think network security sometimes falls behind because, frankly, you know, hasn't been a lot of innovation there. And, you know, at Arista, we've kind of tackled that problem head on and brought some of those new capabilities to bear.
You have an excellent point, because in previous seminars or webinars we've done, we were talking about how manufacturing and firms are easy targets because of legacy, because of the way networks were built to be self-contained into brick walls, right? Now that we've opened up the walls for them, they are very appealing targets for bad actors.
Right.
Because they don't know how to defend themselves.
Yeah, no, I'll pick a ransomware example again here, right? We actually were evaluating, a customer was evaluating our technology, and they're a manufacturing firm. They have, you know, facilities all across the country. We were deployed in one of those locations, and a ransomware attack happened to hit another one of their locations at the exact same time frame. And, you know, going back to the comment you were making earlier, right, about how do you contain the amount of time it takes to identify these threats, By being able to identify that this attack was trying to come from the Atlanta location to the Dallas location, we were essentially able to kind of build a virtual moat around that Dallas location, right? So that you contain the threat. So yeah, because we weren't deployed in Atlanta, we weren't able to prevent it there, but we were at least able to contain the impact. You're right. I mean, I think manufacturing is a big target, but frankly,
they are a huge target.
You know, every industry has gotten hit by these threats, right? And I think, you know, as customers, what we hear from customers is, you know, if really security is becoming a topic that requires a lot of, you know, kind of investment, but also requires a lot of just interest from the board, from the executives, right? And I think that's why people are looking for newer forms of technology to kind of tackle this problem.
Yeah. Because as a closing argument, I tell my customers, and you probably do too, it's not a matter if you're going to get ransomware, it's when it will happen. And we know it's been roaming around for the last 200 days all over the place. So it's just a matter of time before we hit the crisis.
Yeah, no, you know, I think, you know, there's a saying in security, right, that you don't get judged whether you get compromised or not. You get judged based on how you react after the compromise, right? And so one of the things we advise customers is make sure you've got the right controls in place, right? It's not going to prevent every single breach because, look, if there's a sophisticated nation state out there and you've got something that they want, they're going to find a way. I mean, we've heard cases where they've tried to bribe employees with millions of dollars and things like that, right? So they're going to find a way. So your best kind of defense is, can you detect that as quickly as possible? And then B, do you have the right processes and the programs in place to respond quickly and effectively, right? So that's another aspect of, you know, kind of your incident response processes become really important as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You're so right. Rudolf, thank you very much for these 15 minutes. It was an excellent IT break. Thank you again for having joined me today. Folks, please be reminded that this was episode 54. Our previous 53 are all on our hub of content at hub.navipro.com, along with a series of seminars, webinar in our last 2020 cybersecurity edition. Rudolf, thank you very much again for having joined me today.
Yeah, no, appreciate it, Pierre. Thanks for the questions and the great discussion.
It's always a great learning curve for me to talk with people that are different competencies than I have. Thank you very much again.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
You want access to a range of cutting-edge information? Go to our online content area at hub.navipro.com.